Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy C. I'm from New York, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 42, the third paragraph, which starts, "Quite as important was," through the first paragraph, ending there on page 43. "I would not go back to it even if I could." Today's readers, we have the 12 Steps, Sarah G., 12 Traditions, Maria H. Reader of the text today is Sally A., page 164, Tricia D., and our backup is Tony B. Our newcomer greeter, Sima M., and our second hour host is Eileen M. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, June 2nd, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 23,508, that's 23,508. And our 10 a.m. Eastern meeting was 23,509, that's 23,509. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Sarah G. to please read the 12 steps. Come on in, Sarah.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So grateful to be here. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact of God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Sarah G. I will now ask Maria H. to please come in and read the 12 traditions. Come on in, Maria.
Good morning. This is Maria H. in Georgia. Thank you. For the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I'll be able to time you this morning. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 42, the bottom page. Quite as important was the discovery. Reading through the top of page 43 where it ends, I would not go back to it even if I could. I'm now going to ask Sally A. to please come in reading. Come on in, Sally.
Morning, Kath. Sally A., a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have since been brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying, and I hope more useful than the life I lived before. My old manner of life was by no means a bad one, but I would not exchange it, its best moments, for the worst I have now. I would not go back to it even if I could. So this is such a wonderful paragraph for me because it really does sum it all up for me. It's a discovery to find out there is a solution. I spent years not really understanding that it was so simple, and it all started with step one, and that is this way of living, this plan of living, this manner of living, to live the steps. That's a different thought pattern than most people walk around with. To know that we're living using the steps for a successful life. And it does lead to a very different life that I would never want to go back to the old life that I lived. Because I really did feel that I was in the food, I was in the sugar, I should say. I was stumbling as if in a fog most of the time, almost all of the time. What is this plan? And I'm speaking primarily to newcomers who are hearing this for the first time. I have to realize I have a problem, that I'm even in a fog, that I'm not thinking straight, that I'm even drunk on food, that I can't stop, that I can't control this. because I have an allergy of my body, and because I have first and foremost this mental twist that leads me back. It's almost like a built-in forgetter. I sometimes call it sometimers, not all timers, but sometimers. And I have this selective forgetfulness about how horrible it is to be back in the food, to be in the sugar, in most forms, actually in all forms, but that's complicated to explain. And will I walk away? And that's step two. Will I have the willingness to turn to a higher power, to believe? And this is, you know, I always bring up page 13, the bottom of the page. It starts with a belief that there is a power greater than myself, I choose to call God. And it does take willingness. You have to want this. If you don't want it, you're not going to do it. That's the truth. And when I say want it, I say this for the people that are in relapse, like I have been back and forth throughout the last over 40 years in the program. You have to want it because it does require that you do have a pause and you have a moment to think and even to pray and to ask God, should I eat this? Is this not okay? And yeah, if you plan your food and if you weigh your food, it's a lot easier. But if you don't do that, it certainly requires that pause. And emotionally, it requires a pause.
That's fine,
I hope I'm
Sally.
Making sense. And I would just go on to say that there's more, but I'm counting on the rest of you guys to fill in the spaces that I haven't been able to touch on with this paragraph. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, Sally A. from New York, for getting us started. Thank you so much. I'm now ready to take some names. Please press star 1 if you'd like to share. And although we
Nancy
value
P.
your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience. So if you shared either Monday or Tuesday or either meeting, and so far we have Nancy P.
Tony B.
Harlan G.
Leah.
Joseph
A. from New Jersey.
Harlan G.
Leah. I have Nancy. I have Harlan. I have Nancy, Tony, and Harlan.
Leah, sure,
Jersey.
I heard Jersey. Who's from New Jersey?
Josephine from New Jersey.
Okay.
Thank you, Josephine.
Leah, RF.
Thank you, Leah.
Reva P.
Sarah Thank you,
T.
Reva. Thank you, Sarah.
Penny E.
Can you repeat that? Who was before Penny?
Suzanne M.
Vasa
O.
Suzanne M. Okay, I'm going to stop at that group and then we'll go to the next. Let's get through the first one. So for the first lineup, I have Nancy P., Tony B., Harlan G., Josephine, Leah R. S., Reva, Sarah, Suzanne, and Penny E. Nancy, come on in and share with us, please.
Hi, good morning. Nancy P. recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So spiritual principles that, you know, I've only read this book about 9 million times. And, you know, every once in a while I hear something for the first time. So spiritual principles, that makes me feel really good because as an agnostic, you know, it gets old hearing all the time that God is the one that's going to take care of it. And that might, you know, for me, that just never seemed to work. And I always felt like, you know, out in the cold, but this quantifies what my lived experience was, that spiritual principles solved my problems. And what are those principles? You know, I never could quantify it. You know, I thought, you know, I did what I was told to do, you know, put the food down, pray, like get on my knees, do all that stuff. Like, none of it worked, including putting the food down, because it wasn't accompanied by any kind of a spiritual life. But when I was really, you know, at the bottom, and I didn't care what I was told to do, I didn't question what I was told to do, I just did everything that I was told to do, which, by the way, was none of those other than to get my food in order. My sponsor never said, pray and do this and that. She just took me through the steps in based on her own experience. And finally, you know, almost five decades in at that time, it took, and I have not had to hurt myself with food in quite some time. And so the whole thing about solving the problems, it's tempting for me, always was tempting for me to think that if my problems were solved, that would mean that I would be happy. You know, that would mean that they were solved in my favor. But that's not the case. Like, my life is filled with stuff that is problems that are solved the way that I want them to be, and also problems that are solved in ways that I don't want them to be. You know, sometimes the answer is no, and or sometimes it's wait. But so yes is good, no is bad, and wait is almost as bad as no to me. But I can tell you this, I have never been happier in my life, even when, as I tell my sponsees or people who call me, even when my life sucks, which it often does, because nobody cares what I think and nobody does what I say. This is mostly my kids, but nobody else either. And yet, I unbelievably to me, you know, my life could not be better, in spite of things that are, you know, that I think, and in quotes think, are disappointments. In fact, because more is always revealed, because I continue on, because I only keep my eyes on my feet to make sure they're facing forward and moving, that's the only thing I look at, always, as my life unfolds, no becomes, I don't care. And wait becomes excellent. Let's see what happens. And
that's time, man.
And how did I? Yep, I'll wrap up with this. And how did I start out with that? The same way I began, as I meant to go on, with one thing and one thing only. Say it with me: surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much. That's Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Tony B. followed by Harlan, and then Josephine. And if you just came in, we are on page 42. Third paragraph, quite as important to the top of 43. I would not go back to it even if I could. Come on in, Tony.
Thanks, Kathy. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Scotland. Quite as important as what? As the fact that his alcoholic condition was relieved, which is a miracle for me that my you know, that my compulsive overeating condition has been relieved. That's, I would have thought that was enough, you know, when I came in. But there's so much more. That's just the beginning, because these spiritual principles, the steps, I think that's the easiest way to think of that phrase, the spiritual principles. So would solve all my problems. And as long as I'm working the steps, as long as I'm prepared to utilize them, then God will come through my work doing them and solve all my problems. So however you conceive that God, power greater than you, the spirit of the universe, good orderly direction, group of drunks, doesn't matter. If I do the work, God comes in. And the powerlessness in step one is places and things. So it's not just food. I mean, I've come to realize that it's all kinds of areas. And but if I believe that God can help and I take action by bringing someone else in and being honest and sharing, I can't do it alone. I disclose myself to others. And then God discloses himself to me. If I put God first, if I put the program first, and I take these actions, if I work the steps, I work with others, I will continue to grow along spiritual lines. And there will, you know, those promises will come true. It will be, things will, like, that used to baffle me, will get solved and work out. And yes, like was shared a lot about yesterday, I need to be open and willing to discard old ideas that don't work for new ones that do. And then I love this going into the next page, that a way of life, a way of living, it's a new way of living, and it's more satisfying than anything I knew before. And I looked for satisfaction in food and people and more of this and that, alcohol, material goods, more of my way. My way had to be done. Men, all sorts of things was where I was looking for satisfaction. And this way of life leads me to letting go, not getting more, but letting go. And, you know, with one tenth step at a time, with one program at a time, because I'm finding that it's not just eating for me, then I have
I'm
this.
Tony.
Oh, thanks so much. And with that, I'll share the time. Love you all.
We love you. Tony, that's Tony B from Scotland. Next up, we have Harlan, followed by Josephine, and then Leah. Come on in, Harlan.
You forget me, Kat?
Harlan. Can I be heard?
Sorry. It's okay. Go ahead.
Harlan, are you there? Can I be heard?
Harlan, we can hear you.
You can be heard. Yes, we can hear you.
Can you be heard?
Harlan, can you come on in? Okay, we'll go to Josephine and then go back.
Else.
Oh,
okay. Sorry.
It's all on you.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. I'm Harlan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Please don't be gentle with your reminder. I'm not in the house. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. What are the principles? The principles are the steps. Bill took writing classes, and he learned not to use the same word over and over and over again. And then around the year 2000, around the year 1997, 98, somebody said, the principle of this is honesty, and the principle of this is this. That's something that came out decades after Bill was dead, decades after he was gone. But these are some of the most beautiful first step promises that we encounter in the book. Because what I did, essentially, bottom line, and it had to be pried out of my hands with teeth and claw marks all over it, was not just the food. But when we're talking about the way my ego manifested, I wanted to be in control. I wanted to be afraid. I wanted to be angry. And when I let go of the food, which was very difficult, when I let go of the fear, I let go of the anger, I let go of the dishonesty, the image management that I would engage in, when I let go of all the BS that was killing me, I was absolutely brought into a way of living infinitely more satisfying and more useful than the life I lived before. Today, my health is good. Today, I'm wearing garments that are bought in a normal store. I didn't have to send to Herb's Hippopotamus Emporium to get a t-shirt or a pair of shorts. I didn't have to go to Omar the Tent Maker. I would not exchange the best moments in the food for the worst moments I have now. What a true statement, and I would not go back to it. When I get up in the morning, I don't have to fear, did someone see me coming out of the donut shop? Did someone see me coming out of McDonald's? Did someone see me coming out of KFC? I don't go there, so anybody that says they saw me there is mistaken or lying. I live a life today of honesty. I live a life today that somebody very wise said to me, if every single thing you did today, everywhere you went today, everything that came in and out of your mouth was on the front page of the Chicago Tribune, are you okay with that? And today I am more than okay with that. I am more than okay with that. I don't have to be ashamed of myself, and I don't have to hate myself. And in finding myself through inventory, in discovering who I am, I no longer hate myself. I like myself. I respect myself. And I have found a God. I have found a relationship with a power greater than myself that I choose to call God, that is beyond anything I ever could have gained in the food or could have even imagined. My life today works on the financial level. All right, Kath, I'm done. Thanks so much for your
service.
Thank
you so much. That's Harlan G. from Arizona. Next up, we have Josephine. If you could give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Then we have Leah, and Reva. Come on in, Josephine.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Josephine S., like Sam. I'm calling from Central Jersey. It's good to be here today, and thank you, everybody, for your service and all the beautiful shares thus far. So, you know, the life before and the life now. You know, I can say, oh, the life in the food or the life in, you know, the life in the food, but it really wasn't about the food. It's really the life before being in this greater place, this greater spiritual place. 12 steps helped me connect with my higher power. I would never go back. I cannot live life without having a connection with my higher power and just getting through life. It's serious challenges in my life. I don't want to go back. I have gone back to the food. It's not enough to say, oh, because I know my higher power and I have a good relationship with my higher power, that that will keep me out of the food. I can still have that relationship with my higher power and still end up with the food, but I have to follow. The program is more than just know and connect with your higher power. So for me, if anybody's struggling and they have a good relationship with the higher power, you know, it's stay with it, stay with the program, do the steps and follow the principles and suggestions of the program, the meal plan. Because, you know, I have had, you know, serious struggles and relapse, but I always get back on track. I do get back on track when I follow the right combination, you know. So, but for today, I will say that I am, that third step prayer is part of my daily routine, and I like to journal and write it out. I can't get through life without, you know, on a daily basis, offering myself to my higher power, surrendering my day to my higher power, because when I don't do that, I'm inevitably on the wrong track, and it's not better. It definitely isn't better. I may feel good in a moment, a rush or whatever, but it's like, you know, having something, you know, my allergy food that is like provides me with a rush, but then afterwards it's just a mess. So I just want to say that I will always be in the program whether or not I am struggling with the food or not, because it's not about the food. It's about the quality of my life when I'm connecting with my higher power, when I have a sponsor, when I'm going through my inventory and looking at what is my part. That's the way I need to live life, because it will help me stay out of anxiety. I get filled with fear, stuck in the past, fear about the future, about my kids, about things. Fear of economic insecurity is a big one for me. So the program helps me avoid the fears, and all the work of the program, all the work of the steps, the support group that I have, you know, my friends in the OA program is just, it's a game changer. I can never give that up. Even though I might have a slip up with the food or a little challenge, I still stay in the program. I still stay in the 12 steps. With that, I'll pass. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much. That was Josephine S. from New Jersey. Next up, we have Leah, followed by Reva, and then Sarah G. Leah, come on in. Give us the first initial for your last name and where you're calling in from, please.
Hi, my name is Leah, R-S. That's red, as in R as in red, and F as in falcon. And I am from Lodi, California. And I am a longtime listener, first-time sharer. I'm not normally awake at this time, but I just got back from a trip from Europe that turned my schedule on its head just enough that I happened to be awake at 4 a.m. My time. And so, I just really appreciate this meeting. The voices on this line, on the podcast, helped me stay abstinent the last few years and on that trip. And I had no idea that I was spiritually ill. No idea that that was my problem whatsoever. If someone would have randomly come up to me and told me that your problem is a spiritual problem and you are spiritually ill, I would have said, what the heck are you talking about? And I can see that that is absolutely what my problem was and will be if I ever stop working this program. I had a void that I was trying to fill with food. I was trying to manage my emotions and my problems with the food,
but there was this giant void inside of me that I needed to fill with my higher power, and that I needed to fill with the spiritual principles that come along with this program. And for me, you know, I always believed there was something out there, but for me, it ran in parallel with my life. That higher power existed and was for people of a religious nature. It wasn't something that I felt that I could bring into my life, that I had to participate in some kind of religion for that to be a thing. And I can see now that that's not, and it almost felt blasphemous for me to explore the idea of a higher power without linking it to some kind of religion. I didn't know that I could do that. And OA gave me that permission to explore that relationship and to develop that relationship with my higher power, which is so, so important for me because, as I said, leaving my home for 2 weeks, going across the ocean, I stayed abstinent. I lost weight during that time. I didn't intend to lose weight, but it was through turning each meal over to my higher power. It was through reading my literature in the morning, saying my prayers, taking the time for meditation, listening to the pre-recorded podcast for A Vision for You, getting into meetings that I had never been in before, which I've discovered some wonderful meetings. Those things helped me stay abstinent. And yeah, I would not life even if I could. And I was so scared to give up the food. I thought, what is my life going to be like if I give that up? Like, how boring will it be? And this is the last really addiction I have left that I just can't give up. And so I won't have anything. And I thought that maybe I would do all of these things and end up punked, you know, do the journaling, do the meditating, go to meetings, bare my soul, and still at the end of the day, be left with all of the weight. And that is not what has happened. I've released over 120 pounds, almost half my body weight. I'm a very normal weight right now. The fact that, like I said, I went to Europe, I could get on the airplane, I could walk the busy streets. The fact that the people who invited me along even wanted me to be along, that those relationships are so healed now, and that I'm not causing drama and chaos, and that I can have acceptance of other people and just love them as they are and not criticize them and judge them.
That's time, Leah.
Thank you so much. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much. That's Leah R.F. from California. Next up, we have Reva, followed by Sarah, and then Suzanne. Reva, come in and share with us, please.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Reva P, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, I have to smile to myself that I was so eager to share on this paragraph that says spiritual principles would solve all my problems. Like, this is so not where I was when I came into program. First of all, I thought I was supposed to solve all my problems, or I don't know, the intellect, the doctors were supposed to solve all my problems, and I thought my problem was the food, so that you guys would teach me how to control and manage and keep on guard with the food, and then I could go back and live my life, because my life, I thought, was just fine. So this is so opposite. This is so opposite, and it's so amazing that I want to share on this, because now what I've learned through the experience of working the steps in entire abstinence, spiritual principles, the steps, which basically take me back to God, answer all. It doesn't say some, sometimes, it says all my problems, which reminds me of that sentence, when I straighten out spiritually, then I straighten out mentally and physically. I had it backwards. I wanted to straighten out physically, and then I would take care of everything else. And I thought my problems were not just the food, but the externals and the people. But I guess what I've learned, and I don't know if I can express it, it's backwards. The problems are not the problems. It's not the circumstances. It's my beliefs and conceptions that had to be thrown out the window. That creates the problems, the resentments that build up, the fears of everything. Everything always comes down to fear. That was my problem. So when I straighten out spiritually, I get brought into, I get brought into this way where God removes the anger, the resentments, the fears, because my life is dictated by my beliefs, ideas, and conceptions, and it was killing me because I could be abstinent only and be miserable, just miserable. So this way of living is about changing my mind through the spiritual work, which is God. And then it becomes more satisfactory and useful because it's independent of externals. And so when I go back to it, even if I could, then I'm depending on human powers and circumstances for my joy of living, and it never worked. So, wow, what, you know, that paradox that God, I go to God first, and then things straighten out. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That's Reva P. from Toronto, Canada. Next up, we have Sarah, Suzanne, and then Penny. And after Penny, I'll be able to take another lineup. And we are on page 42, the third paragraph, quite as important ones, goes into the top of 43. I would not go back to it even if I could. Come on in, Sarah. Please help join us. I mean, please share with us.
Hey, good morning. This is Sarah G. Thank you so much for your service, and I'm so grateful for everyone who's here. I would not want to go back to my previous life, being in the food. It wasn't a good life. I'm not saying that I don't have any problems. I have different problems. I have even more major problems now. That's not what it is. What it is when I'm in the sugar, it's I'm the one causing problems in relationships, which is the most important thing to me, relationship with God and relationship with myself and with people. I am the creator of my own problems when I'm in the food. And what's amazing about this program, because it is spiritual, is that my thinking changes. My thinking changes. Just this morning, I was doing a couple of 10 steps, and, you know, God dropped into my heart that wow, you know, I forgot about this. But one of my issues about reaching out to other people is that don't impose. I grew up with that. Don't impose on other people. And you know something? When I'm calling people now, when I'm doing 10 steps or doing outreach or service or whatever it is, I'm not imposing. I'm doing this so that I can get closer to God. That's what God wants. And with that, I pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, Sarah G. from New York. Next up. Next up, we have Suzanne, followed by Penny E. Suzanne, please come in and share with us. Give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling in from, please.
Good morning, Kathy. Suzanne M. from Warminster, Pennsylvania. Thank you for your service and everyone that makes this line possible. You know, I listen every day, and I just admire the recovery, all the levels of recovery and all the advice that I'm given. You know, and that's, you know, this is talking about higher power and God. And, you know, for me, he is everything. But, you know, he sends me people in my life, such as yourselves. And he shows me the way, right? It's a lot of things, but it has to begin with God. Like, Suzanne's the problem, and God's the solution. And as long as I can accept, first step, that everything else falls right into place. It's just when I want to go up against the grain that things change. You know, I love how this opens, that I have a life that is satisfying and useful to others. You know, when the food's down, my head is clear, and I can spend my whole day worrying about others. You know, every day I start with the seven-step prayer, you know, which asks me to help me to be useful to others. And, you know, and every day I close my day with a 10-step journal that asks me, what did I do for others? What did I do for myself? What didn't I do that I could have done better? You know, without these tools, I have nothing. But recovery has given my life a purpose, right? Because that's the other thing, you know. My purpose in life is self-centered, me, for my whole life. So now that I can put it on you, others, I have freedom. I have not, you know, and I've been in programs, several programs, you know, for years, and I've never had the freedom that I have today since, you know, I have 3 meals a day, nothing in between, and my head's quiet because I know what I've had is what I've had. I was sharing with my sponsor yesterday the gift of finding out that when I'm hungry, if it's not one of my meal times, I need to look at other things, my feelings, am I tired? My whole life, I just thought if I was hungry, I had to eat. And now I know if I'm hungry and it's outside of my meal times, to look for something else. What else is the problem? And, of course, how do I find that? Through prayer to my higher power, who I choose to call God. So I love you all, and I'm so grateful for these meetings and all OA meetings. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. That was Suzanne M. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Penny E. And after Penny, I could take four more names. Come on in, Penny.
Thank you so very much. Good morning, everybody. My name is Penny E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. This is one of my favorite lines in the big book, Spiritual Principles Would Solve All My Problems. I actually did a special edition with that exact title, and so I've just been, very grateful to share here. This has happened to me. I mean, this actually does work. The first thing that I always say is thank you, God, because no matter what happens in my life, there's something for me to learn. And the worse it is, whatever the problem is, the worse it is, the more I can depend on God. So thank you, God. It says would solve, not change. It doesn't change the problem, but it solves my problem. And for me, what that means is that I can find peace. I can find serenity. I can find meaning. I can find knowledge, something through that. Even in the death of my husband in a motorcycle accident, I found peace. I found understanding. I found lessons. Thank you, God. It actually is almost aligning my will to God's will. You know, if this is what happened, whether I think it's right or whether other people think is right, God's given it to me, so let me do with it what he would have me do. So, pardon me. And, you know, we admitted we were powerless over all our problems. You know, everybody's been saying the spiritual principles are the steps. We are powerless over all our problems. And my life becomes unmanageable when I become depressed, angry, resentful, you know, controlling, unmanageable, and came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And again, that's that peace and acceptance and gratitude. I love you all. Hugs, kisses, mwah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's Penny E. from New Jersey. Okay, I can take a second lineup. I can take four names.
Ashley M.
Howard, Mimi, Singleton, Mimi.
Jess M. I heard Ashley and Jess.
Moraine S. Miami. Moraine S. Miami.
Maureen S. from Miami. And one more?
Cabana J. Pennsylvania.
Okay. So this is the lineup that we have. I have 11 minutes. We have Ashley, Jeff, Marani, and Silvana. Ashley, come in and give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, the folks whose voices we hear and the folks behind the scene. My name is Ashley F., and I am calling in from Kentucky. When we read this section this morning, the first thing I thought of is this song from Hamilton, like Never Be Satisfied. And every time I hear that song, I'm like, oh yeah, that's me. And you know, growing up as a child, but the refrain from my mother was like, you are never satisfied. And she wasn't wrong. And I laugh. It's not funny, but and the thing that occurred to me today as we were looking and I was listening is I forget that I'm not owed satisfaction. And it made me think about on page 61 where it talks about, you know, it was a delusion. I was victim to the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction out of life. Like, that's a lie. And I was a victim to it all day, every day. And still, like, you know, that is one of the pitfalls, the places where it's like I can start to believe that not just that if I figure it out and manage well, that I'll be satisfied, but just a lie that, like, I'm owed satisfaction. And that if I just do it right, then I'll achieve that. But the thing about satisfaction is it's insatiable. It's just insatiable. Maybe it's, well, whatever. But, and it occurred to me today, you know, where it says I've been brought into, like, I've been brought, and this is not, again, like, I know everybody on here probably understands this stuff, but, you know, I'm brought into this through spiritual principles. So it is the step work. It is the spiritual principles. It is by just practicing this way of living that I'll be brought by a power greater than myself to this place that's promised. And I'm looking, you know, I'm looking forward to that and holding hope that what, recovered folks around me say is true, that this can be enduring as long as I continue to practice. The peace can be enduring. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Ashley F. from Kentucky. Next up, we have Jess, followed by Mariani, and then Silvana. Come on in, Jess.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Jess M. from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, recovering. This first line is quite as important as the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. To me, that means, you know, this illness has tossed me around for years. I've chased every branch of OA. I've chased every shaman, plant, spirit, medicine woman in the deep woods. I've chased it all. And when it says we suffer from an illness that only a spiritual solution can conquer, is that I have to do the work. Like, I used to think, like, just go to meetings, you'll get better. It's just all that false hope, like the right sponsor, the right this, the right that. I didn't realize I was going to have to do the work. And when it says here, quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all my problems. I have to do the work. I can't piggyback off anybody. You know, I look up the word discovery, and the word discovered is to find, learn, or become aware of something for the first time. And I really feel after being in this program for years that I'm discovering that I have to do it. You know, I have to be the spiritual principles, the code of conduct. You know, I really, I love, you know, I know this big book inside and out, but do I apply it? You know, I could sit there with all the knowledge of it. I've literally been around it for so long. And I constantly go back to the food. I've had 5 years, 3 years, 1 year, many days. But I constantly go back to that food because I didn't realize I'm suffering from a spiritual problem. I didn't realize that my code of conduct on a daily basis was really the problem. I thought it was the M&M. It's not the M&M. They suck, but it's not the M&M. It's my behavior. It's my lying, cheating, stealing, taking unfair advantage of, that's going to bring me back to that. So learning how to be spiritual and learning how to slow down, because I did not want this to be my solution. I wanted the shaman, the this, the that. I did not want to have to grow up. I did not want to have to be aware. And I didn't want to have to discover that I truly have an illness that's centered in my mind, and that God of my understanding, God of spiritual growth, love, practice, whatever you want to call it, is the only way it's going to do it. But I have to slow down. I have to be aware. And I have to learn, step one, that I'm powerless over this,
and that I truly, truly have it into my deepest soul. And I didn't want to have it. I didn't want to have it. But I know today that I, like I said right here, I'm discovering that I truly do have it. And that when it says here, my old manner of life was by no means a bad one. It was horrible. It was horrible. So I'm just grateful today to be here with everybody and this opportunity to share. So thank you.
Thank you so much. That is Jess M. from Massachusetts. Next up, we have Marini, and then followed by Silvana. Come on in, Marini.
Thank you, everyone here doing service behind the scenes, making this possible for us. My name is Marini. I'm from Miami. I've been in this program 6 months, and I've learned that I've been biting, licking, and tasting, and how sick of a person that I have been as an undisciplined person. When I looked at this thing, satisfying and useful, and that the best moments of my life, I've had a lot of them, gut-wrenching blessed. So I look forward to a life fully recovered in this program. I do see things as half full and not half empty. So when I look at these spiritual principles, for me that is embedded in my eternal Father, I get to go deeper in my spiritual practice. I don't have to fall back because Bill tells me to make use of what I already know. So when I look at these spiritual principles, and I'm reading them 1 through 12. 1 is honesty. I've been a liar, a bold-faced one, and I'll do anything I could to get what I want. I've got a long way to go. Hope. I've been hopeless because I pick up my comfort, and then I put my comfort in the food, the next bite, right? My faith. I don't trust in God all the time. I've been trusting in myself, and I felt like I've had a reason to based on my life being motherless and fatherless. Courage, well, violence or being like a bully or, you know, one up, that's not going to get it in this program. Integrity. Nah, I've been a person who had to do what I had to do to get what I needed. Willingness. I pray every day for the willingness to stay willing in this program. Humility. Nah, I'm cocky as bleep. Self-discipline, nah, I do what I want when I want. That's been my philosophy. Love, nah, I've loved myself. Above all. Perseverance, nah, I've been on that debt train of self-pity and woe is me for lifelong conceptions of that. And my spiritual awareness, nah, I check out when I want and I take the wheel a lot. All right? A lot. And service, nah, if it didn't make me money, it didn't make sense to me. So this program is teaching me purpose. It's giving me training ground in recovery. You know, my purpose, you know, I am a light. I'm a deeply loved child of God, and God has already given me everything I need to succeed in this program. I just got to thank
you.
Thank y'all for listening and being here for me in this program.
Thank you so much, Marini. That's Marini F. from Florida. Next up, we have Silvana G. Silvana, we have 2 minutes if you could take that, please.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Silvana G. I'm a compulsive eater. I wanted to first apologize to everyone about confusing newcomer Tuesday. I actually have Thursday, not Tuesday, and that was completely my error, and I just wanted to make an apology to everyone, especially the newcomer person. But also, I wanted to share, also, I do not want to go back to the way I used to live, because what I've discovered is I put food before people. Like, I put food before people. Like, I don't want to help. I don't want to give to people. I don't want to, I didn't want to put in for relationships or friendships or fellowship. Even at church, I stayed quiet and introverted for many years. I could have been a better mother. I wasn't a bad mother, but I could have been a better mother.
So, you know, I don't want, you know, one thing with grandchildren is you get a second chance. And I'm so much more different. I can't imagine if I didn't have recovery, what kind of grandmother I would have made, which I know wouldn't be how I am today. So I am so forever thankful for that. And I know that you said there's just 2 minutes, and I think I've said what I needed to say, and I appreciate your service today. Thank you, Pass.
Thank you so much. That was Sylvana G. from Pennsylvania. Thank you for taking us out. Thank you, everyone, for today. And I would thank you to who shared. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, June 3rd, the 7 o'clock meeting, is 23,511. That's 23511. We're now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Tricia D. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Please.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Tricia D., a compulsive overeater from Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until